According to Dr. Ellen Bader, what we say the first time we meet with an angry couple could be lighting their fuse.
Let's say you've talked to a couple on the telephone and you know they're really angry at each other, and then you're coming in to the first session. So right away, the way you start that session matters a lot. You don't want to ask what brings you in, why are you here, typical questions that therapists are taught to ask. Because what you're going to get is one person unloading on the other. They're going to tell you all the things the other person has done that where they've been wronged. Okay, so a better thing to say is to say to the couple, you know, usually when couples come in and they're hurt and angry, like I know the two of you are from some things I heard on the telephone, a therapist will ask, you know, well, they'll ask the question, what brings you in? I'm not going to ask you that question. I'm going to go about this a very different way. So, Joe, what I'd like to know is, can you tell me what Mary's main complaints about you are? And then, Mary, can you tell me what Joe's main complaints about you are? And we'll go one at a time, but I'd like to see if we can get a picture of what each other's main complaints are. And so instead of one of them telling how bad the other one is, like Joe is telling me what Mary thinks he doesn't do very well. When he's done telling me, and I'll tell, you know, and I'll say, tell me your top two or three, four at the most, complaints that you think she has. And when you're done, I'm going to ask Mary how accurate you were. So he tells me a few complaints. And then I'll say to Mary, how accurate was he? And usually he's pretty accurate about things he says. And then I'll turn to him and I'll say, did you know that she was listening to you that well? Did you know that she really knew what your complaints were? And often somebody will say, actually, I didn't know she really heard me, or I didn't know she was listening. And so in the first, you know, 30 minutes, let's say, that you're with a couple, instead of allowing them to trash the other person, what you're actually showing them is that they have been listening to each other. And they think they haven't been. So that starts things off in a different way.
It's interesting, but that one shift in your greeting can really set the stage for more agency and empathy from your couples. Now, some couples just can't communicate without their anger. So Ellen will often engage them with what she calls her most effective skill.
I'm going to tell you the most powerful technique that I use. But usually I teach, it takes usually about 5 hours to teach this, and I'm going to lapse it into a couple of minutes. My husband and I have developed a process called the Initiator Inquirer, which is a process that looks like it's a communication process. Because so many couples, again, and angry couples in particular, will say we can't communicate, all we do is fight. And so this is a process where each partner is taught a different role. So to summarize it quickly, the initiating partner is the partner who brings up one issue, says what they think and feel about it, and does it without any name calling or blaming or any negativity when they bring up that issue. And the goal for them, and I'll say to them, and this is challenging, but the goal for you when you initiate something with your partner is to know more about yourself when you're done than you knew when you started. And that's putting then an emphasis on them going deeper into a deeper understanding of themselves. The inquiring partner's job is, first of all, to listen and to do that without interrupting. And, you know, you can work on them with things like deep breathing and other things that help them get centered and focused. Then they are to ask questions. And those questions are questions that are located completely in the initiator's experience. They're not questions like, well, don't you think that bothers me too? Things that pull it back to themselves aren't off limits. Then the goal is for them to empathize and to stay with empathy until they create a soothing moment. And that's that moment of connection when, you know, the initiating person says you really got it or you really understand. So it looks like a process of communication. But what's really going on in that process is you are building in and helping each partner have new developmental capacities that they didn't have previously. And those are developmental capacities that keep them in the fighting because they don't have them. So, for example, I mean, the best example, the easiest one to understand quickly is that a narcissist does not have the capacity for empathy. And so when you put a narcissistic partner into that inquiring role enough times, they begin to have to stretch, and they begin to have to stretch into understanding the other person's world and the other person's experience, not being so caught up in themselves. And so over time, they develop a much greater capacity to see the world from their partner's eyes rather than only from their own eyes. An initiating partner may have little ability to anticipate their own desires, their own wants, and to bring them up in a constructive way. And so they wait until their desires are violated, and then they clobber the other person, which is the, you know, what starts the fight. And so for people who don't initiate and bring up things that matter, they're going to stay angry. They're going to be angry a lot. And so that role is pushing their own development when they have to come into the session and initiate in a way that's not normal or comfortable for them.
This kind of work can really push a person's development. It builds this important capacity to take on future issues with more empathy and less reactivity. But obviously, not every session with an angry couple is going to go according to plan. And sometimes, when couples fight, the practitioner can experience a sudden urge to take sides. So how do we avoid this? Here, Dr. Stan Tatkin tells us how projective identification almost threatened his work with a hostile couple.
This couple that had been married for several years had three kids. And this gentleman was quite angry with his wife in a very persistent way. And as a therapist, I began to feel a lot of urges to go after him and protect her. And one of the things that happens in couple therapy is the matter of projective identification. That's one of the most important things to experience and to utilize it once you understand what it is and where it might be coming from, so that you know where to throw your intervention, whether it's to this person or that person or down the middle. In this case, I became aware that she, in her quietness and so on, was employing me in some manner to do battle with him. And it's actually she who's experienced a great deal of rage, a great deal of anger, and by not expressing it, by not stopping him, by not talking about or expressing or dealing with her own anger, it actually amplified his. And so it distorted a reality here where he began to look like the person who was always angry, the bully in the room. But actually, her passivity and avoidance was contributing to his anger. And once I could throw it to her and say, how can you just sit there? I wonder if you want to yell at him. Or I say to him, she's looking there and I'm going to scan her face for any signs of anger. It looks like she's very angry with you as well. So some way getting that other person activated and involved calmed this man down, because this will happen in couples. One person begins to be pushed into a position of expressing a certain affect, a certain attitude, a certain position, because the other partner is passively in some way doing that, amplifying that situation. So once that is understood, the almost seemingly continuous, angry, hostile person is no longer that way. I think it's important for the therapist to find the baby in people. It's very difficult dealing with strong affects, with personality presentations that are off-putting. But finding the baby, finding that person inside that's driving this whole thing is essential to do for really to help and understand and to mollify some of this.
This points back to what Dr. Sue Johnson said earlier about the rage that can build up when an attachment figure refuses to engage. And as Stan revealed, you might want to keep an eye out for projective identification in these situations. Now, in the next module, we're going to explore one of the most unsettling parts of working with angry clients, when their anger is aimed directly at you, the practitioner. I'll see you there.